Today we have three readings, so I'm going to share the job with Paul. The first reading is a poem from Isaiah chapter 60, 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Visit of the wise men. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Our third reading is from Paul's letters to the Ephesians. "This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I wrote before in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that was carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for the lovely song. Dear God, we are drawn to you, busy discerning our way and following your direction. May we approach your sacred presence with humble hearts and listening ears. May we reach out to others with open hands, sharing the struggles and the joys of living, always with you present in our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, have you had enough of Christmas? We attended concerts in December. It's always so busy. Decorated our homes with Christmas trees and lights. Saw pageants. Celebrated a candlelit Christmas Eve service. Wrapped and unwrapped presents. Prepared, cooked, served, and feasted on holiday foods, ate way too much chocolate, and fought off colds. And finally, the kids will be going back to school tomorrow. Oh, wait. The tree chipping has already been happening this weekend, so is your Christmas tree taken down yet and ornaments packed away? Oh, yeah, so there was one here. It's gone. But wait a minute, just a minute, it's Epiphany. Today, you get a bit more Christmas. At least one of you in this congregation actually asked me to do Epiphany today. I had a choice, and I'm also ready for just a bit more Christmas. Celebrating the Epiphany, the story of the wise ones who follow a star and bring gifts to Jesus. The Feast of the Epiphany, it comes as a time to interpret, explore, and develop a greater understanding of the meaning of Christmas. All that busyness we just went through, what did it all mean? Well, now we get to reflect upon it and think about it. Epiphany sits in the middle of four other seasons. It's both a feast day, one day, but it's also a full liturgical season of seven Sundays in the Christian church. So first you get Advent and Christmas, then this beautiful little season of Epiphany, and Lent and Easter. The seasons are a time of preparation for, celebration of our foundational Christian stories. Christmas and Easter, they celebrate the birth and death of Jesus. But Epiphany, it gives us that continuity, the connection of ancient prophecy, sacred story, and interpreted meaning about Jesus. That's why you got three readings today. To hear the prophecy from Isaiah, the gospel story from Matthew, and the Apostle Paul's interpretation of the good news about Jesus. I often think about Epiphany as that light bulb that comes on with a flash over some animated cartoon character's head when they suddenly have, aha, a new idea. Wow,
Now I'm noticing the continuity and rich complexity of our scripture and our faith. In our first reading, we heard a translation of ancient Hebrew poetry, vivid poetry. There's traditional, beloved, well-known rhythms and patterns, and the emphasis is on the places where the patterns change. What an opening. Arise, shine, the presence of God rises upon you. It's a strong, imperative instruction, a command. I have been imagining sharing this wisdom with my teenagers, because unfortunately I command them a little too often. But here, to just kind of gentle it up a little bit. Arise, shine, be the shining, beloved star that God created and shares with the world. That's part of your instruction for today. All of us, we share the most basic experience of darkness and light, and we are drawn from that to the very presence of God. Isaiah's poetry was written in a context of exile, and after the exile, when people were gathering and coming back home. And the glory of the Lord had a very specific meaning. The glory of the Lord meant the real presence of God. The presence of God guiding in the wilderness, the presence of God in the tabernacle, the presence of God in the temple, and then leaving the temple to be with the people. In this poem, darkness, the Hebrew word erafel, it was a thick darkness. So imagine no stars, no moon, shrouded in heavy clouds. It kind of sounds like the lower mainland of BC, but with no urban light pollution. Darkness also can mean depression, being alone in the utter black, chaos and confusion. This poem has references to Genesis with the creation of light and day, and the powerful basic experiences of light and dark. When God's glory shines, nations and rulers will gather, beloved family will gather, abundance and riches will be brought to us. So in that post-exile experience of the scattered being gathered home, the children, the sons and the daughters, the beloved children, that also resonates with Matthew's gospel and the birth narrative, beloved child. And this is the time of riches, riches from afar, seafood, tuna steaks, wild Pacific salmon. Okay, the camels, well, today maybe think rich luxury cars and sports cars, lots of cars, and imports and an abundance for all. Yeah, it sounds good. The prophetic poem describes a time of joy and abundance when we celebrate the presence of God. It sounds like Christmas. And so we return to today's Epiphany story, an extension of the meaning of Jesus, the incarnation, God begotten, not made, born among us. Well, just yesterday, I was on retreat and exploring and praying around the Epiphany with other United Church students from Vancouver School of Theology. And our teacher, Janet Geer, she reminded us that sacred journeys, pilgrimage, is done while in community. Even if you're walking alone, you encounter other pilgrims. You hear their stories and notice how heavy their pack or their spiritual burdens may be. The wise ones from the East went on a journey that had a sacred story
a prophecy remembered. And these journeys, they have a beginning, a middle, and an end. You start the journey, you arrive at a holy site, and you return home. The gospel passage in Matthew uses a repeating three-part pattern of ideas in its structure. People who study language, it's like ABA. It's a chiasm, the pattern. And this structure, it emphasizes what's going on in the middle. It emphasizes in Bethlehem, prophecy fulfilled. The emphatic center of the passage quotes the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, which speaks of a prophecy of ruler, leader, coming from the Judean clan of Ephrathah in Bethlehem. Well, there's also that similar ABA chiasm pattern in the liturgical seasons, with Epiphany in the center. And now we get to explore the interpretation and understanding of the seasons. This sermon also has three parts. A similar position at the beginning and at the end here at the lectern. And you're going to get something different in the middle. A mini Epiphany pageant. I heard you guys didn't do a pageant this year. Well, I'm not bringing the kids out. This is an adult pageant. And I invite you to think of your spiritual place in one of the three stages of the sacred journey. So here's your questions. Are you in the first stage? Kind of busy, setting out, talking, gathering, meeting, preparing? Or are you more in the second stage? Arriving at a sacred time, able to offer gifts and notice God's presence in your life daily, overwhelmed with joy? Or are you in the third stage, just past a significant faith event or a life-changing experience? Are you completing some significant work or grieving the loss of a loved one and wondering, what's next? Our life is a journey, and we celebrate the mystery of God with us, even while we live in an incomplete, broken world. We are distant from God, and we are still seeking God. So, with the help of others, I offer you an Epiphany mini pageant. You get to embark on the holy pilgrimage. Notice your place in the story and prepare a new path forward as we turn towards a greater understanding of God present in our lives.
Did you notice where your place was in the story? We observed a star, gathered disgust, actually had to have a plan and agree. We set out. Over here, there was a meeting with this important dude, Herod. We met with him. We heard a prophecy. We kept following that star, and we're overwhelmed with joy when we noticed it had stopped. Oh, a baby. We offered what gifts we brought. But then we had a warning in a dream, and we returned home by another road. That warning in the dream, Herod, he actually reminds me of a contemporary situation, a leader feeling threatened and reacting erratically as he put out fires. Yeah, sounds a little familiar. Those dreams in Matthew's birth narrative, they carried divine communication, God talking to his people. People come to their faith in kind of weird, sometimes mysterious ways. And we don't know of these wise people who dreamt. Was it one of them or all three of them? But we do know that there was a decision of consensus. These wise people gathered, agreed to travel together, followed the star, and agreed to go home by a different road. Community discernment about the path ahead into our future, it's like this. Is there a new way forward for you as an individual, for this congregation? Our entire United Church is in a process of discernment around remits, particularly different organizational structure, and about the possible call of ministry being one call and one ministry. Gathering information and learning about the issues and the people involved, and listening to the Spirit and the prophecies, and noticing harmony and agreement, or the stress and tension of disagreement, it can help us discern what God is calling us to. Our scripture today offers us continuity and change, reminding us that God is present with us in our lives through it all. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.